All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Good. Yeah. Everybody's bright and bright-eyed and ready to go and look at some numbers. This is really an exciting time for sure. All righty. Let's see here. Let's go next slide, please. Oh, that's good. Okay, let's see. So 2022 was an interesting year, as it always is for finance stuff. But in particular, 2022 was a year of transition, and I think a really positive transition for the finance activity at the church. During the COVID period, 2020-2021, I served as the interim treasurer. And I basically just kept the lights on. That's all I did. I didn't do anything really to move the church forward. We just survived during that period of time. So that was okay. But 2022, we were very blessed to have some really positive transitions. First of all, as most of you know, our longtime accountant, Russ Stark retired. I think that was sometime in late 2021. So that was a big transition by itself. During that time, we hired a temporary accounting assistant to come in and help with all the church finance activity. And we had a temporary person on board for about the first 6 months of last year. And then the biggest by far positive change last year was that Bill Brueggemann came in as the elected treasurer, and Bill has done way more than keep the lights on. He has made incredible amount of positive changes to the financial function of the church. It is far more efficient than it used to be. It is more well run. There's even better oversight than there was before previously. And with that efficiency has come cost savings as well. So a big hand to Bill for taking on the treasurer role, and not just taking it on, but really moving the church forward. So Bill, thank you very much. Let's see if I can. Okay. Part of that efficiency is restructuring a little bit how the finance operations have been done. Really in the past, Russ was the man when it came to finance operations. He did a little bit of everything from incoming cash to payroll to accounts payable to HR type activities. And with Russ's departure, we knew if we hired someone to do that, it would be prohibitively expensive. So especially under Bill's leadership, we basically divvied out the activities of the finance function into some volunteers at this point in time. We've always had a wonderful group of counters who come in on a weekly basis and count our funds that come in every week through donations that come to the church. And that group is listed here. Wonderful people that give their time to a really, really important function of the church. So again, I'd like to say thank you very much to the counters. So give them a call. A volunteer position that was created this year, and we're very blessed to have Jen Bowerman do the contribution records activity. This is a brainchild of Bill and has taken over a function that Russ performed before. So again, Jan, very much thank you to you. So. The payroll function. Joni Barrett currently performs the payroll function that Russ previously performed. You know, this is making sure that all our staff get properly paid. There's some easy parts of that, and there's some really hard parts of that. So really big thanks to Joni for her volunteer work there. And then funny enough, our old friend, Russ, longtime, employee of the church has volunteered his time post-retirement to do some of the, say, accounts payable activity along with Bill. I know Russ isn't here to hear your applause, but maybe he'll watch it on the recording. Who knows? So a big hand for Russ for continuing to volunteer. All righty. Thank you very much for everyone who volunteers. You know, not only does it keep the church functioning, but it also helps with our budgetary pressures quite a bit as well, which is quite important. Okay, that is the feel-good portion of the presentation. Now we'll get into the actually feel-okay portion of the presentation. So 2022 was, especially first half, was a really challenging year from those of us in a finance leadership position, especially coming out of COVID. We just didn't really know where the church was going from specifically a contribution perspective. And so we monitored the contributions coming into the church or the income coming into the church, both giving from members and also building use fees, which is a significant portion of our budget, to see where things were going to go. And the first 6 months, as you can see by the graph, the orange line there at the bottom was how things were going. And it was a little scary. We didn't have a great first 6 months from an income perspective, both building use fees and member contributions. So we were pretty nervous. It's not unusual to be cash negative through the first, through the first 11 months of the year. So that, from that perspective, we weren't terribly concerned, but the depth of the cash negativeness through the first 6 months, especially through June, had us concerned. At that point, we had conversations with church leadership, with pastor, with Carolyn about what was happening. At that point, we decided to take some action. Started thinking about both the future in 2023 and what was happening in 2022. But fortunately, as we got into the second half of the year, a number of really positive things happened. One, people started feeling more comfortable coming into church, participating in church life, and the corresponding donation contributions also came with that. Also, we had several members step up with special contributions that also helped us continue to fund operations. And you can see by what happened with the orange line in the second half of the year, especially against historical trend, which is the black line, things improved pretty dramatically. And we had a fantastic December, which we typically do, and ended up with having a positive cash flow for the year, which with the one caveat that I'll talk about at the end of December of $4,000. So that was quite an accomplishment. We never thought in June that we were going to be at that place. But what we've seen historically and what we saw this year is people give to need. Where there's need and where there's obvious need, people give. And so when we were able to highlight, hey, there's a need here, there was a positive response from our membership, and it was fantastic. As a finance guy, brings a little tear to my eye. One thing I do want to point out about the cash, positive cash flow in the current budget, and I want to stress that everything that I'm talking about here is in the current fund. There are many other funds that we use to run the church, but the current fund is our main operating budget. In 2021, we made the decision for the 2022 budget. You might remember from the congregational meeting that we were going to use $37,000 of reserve fund this year that was from our Paycheck Protection Program loan that we received and had forgiven in 2021. We were going to use that to supplement our current budget, and was basically going to be so we could continue to have a fully staffed church for 2022. So we used those funds. So although we had positive $4,700 cash flow, $37,000 of that positiveness came from using that reserve fund last year. And so Bill has put that out for us that says, hey, we had $813,000 of income in the current fund last year. But actual contributions were $776,400-ish for last year. So it's just something to keep in mind, especially as we start looking at the 2023 budget numbers. All right. Okay, so 2023 budget summary. So we started having mid-year conversations, like I noted, with church leadership about where we were going in 2023. And especially mid-year, we were, like I said, we were quite nervous. We weren't sure where we were going to go. But we did know that we were going to have to make some hard choices in 2023, just as we did in 2020. So we went about to set a budget that that balanced two things. One, we knew we had to serve the needs of the church and the needs of the community, especially in a time of adjustment and reset for our church. And second, we had to be realistic about where we thought our income was going in the future. Like I said, in the middle of the year, we were quite nervous. We weren't exactly sure where it was going. We've gotten a lot of positive indications, including from but at any rate, when we had commitments for this year, we had a lot of positive indications that commitments were going in the right direction. So as we looked at historical data, as we looked at 2022, as we looked at, what was happening with membership, we had to start with an income figure. For the year, a projected income figure for 2023. And that projected income figure that we're recommending that we land on is $800,000 for the current fund. So when we have the annual congregation meeting for next week, you'll see that and you'll see that including if you have an annual report in front of you. So starting with $800,000 of income, then we have to back off and say, well, what can we afford? From the expense side. And so you'll see detailed here on this slide and in the annual report, the 2022 actual, 2021 budget and actuals, 2022 budget and actuals, and what our proposed 2023 budget is. And in that 2023 budget, you'll see that we have recommended an $800,000 expense budget, $800,000 of income, $800,000 of expense. And you can see the line items that we have listed out there. If you joined me last year and maybe even the year before for this presentation, you'll remember that we spend the vast majority of our current fund budget on really two things. And one is staff and the other one is property. That is where we spend over 80% of our current fund budget. And that is continuing. If you remember last year, I also noted that percentage of expense has been increasing over the course of time. So the amount that we spend on staff and property has risen from, say, the 70% range into the low 80% range over the course of time. In this year's budget, that percentage has remained relatively stable, maybe even a slight tick down, as we make the necessary adjustments in the budget. And you can see the other line items in the budget. I'll point out that, our mission partners, which Dick will talk about here in just a few minutes. If you do the math, it's 8% of the current fund. But I will point out that one of the things we try to do is we try to make sure that the church is contributing at least 10% of the money that we have incoming to our mission partners. And while 8% is coming out of the current fund, if you add up all the other funds that we all the other income and all the other funds that we have coming out, contributions to our mission partners, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, it's between 11 and 12%. That we give to mission partners, so slightly exceeding the 10% item. Let's see. At the end here, we'll take some we'll take any detailed questions that you've got. All right. Nearly impossible to see on the screen, but the point of this of these next two slides is just to show. That we do have a very, very detailed budget by line item. It is available for your review at any time. But especially Bill puts the detail together of the budget Having done it the last 2 years, I know it's a huge challenge to get these all the numbers to add up in the right way. But just a sense of all the budgetary line items that we have going across the church operation. And then I'm going to invite Dick up to talk to us about mission and outreach.
Thank you, Brady. And I want to start by saying thank you to the congregation as well. Although in 2022 we had a current fund outreach budget of about $77,000, there's a lot of additional outreach that this congregation provides, both in funds and in time and in volunteerism, that makes a big difference for the groups that we support. So I want to start with that. Brady has put up the budget here for our outreach mission. It hasn't changed a lot from last year. It's about a 4% decrease across the board. So our distribution is much the same. We focus on a number of core values in outreach. Affordable housing and homelessness is one of those. Hunger and food security is another. And education, particularly Christian education. And we do that both in local organizations and in global organizations. So I guess at this point, I'd like to see if, looking at the outreach budget, are there any questions or concerns about what you've seen there? As Brady mentioned, this is a little hard to see, but it's laid out nicely in the page 63. Okay. Any questions there? Like I say, it's not a whole lot different than what we've done in the past. And one of the things that we focus on through our outreach is how we can be partners or collaborate with the organizations we support. So we try hard not to just be distributing money, but to work with organizations that the congregation can be involved with, whether it's volunteer activities or involvement in the organizations. But we like to be in a position where we get to know the organization and what they're doing and what their needs are, and they get to know us and what we're able to do and how we're able to support them. So many of the members of the Outreach and Servant Ministry Committee are liaisons to these different organizations and work closely with those organizations. When we're looking at an organization, deciding how we're going to support them, we have a set of criteria that we go through. First off, does it fit with our core values? Does what the organization do fit well with our core values? And then we look a little bit deeper into what they're doing. Can members of St. Andrews be involved with the organization? Or maybe they already are, but are there things that we can do that ties us closer to the organization? And we certainly look at accountability, you know, how the organization is rated, particularly from a financial point of view, is there financial accountability to the organization? We're starting to look also at the diversity plans and actions of those organizations. We feel that's important to match with what our values are as a church. Okay. Questions on the mission and outreach portion of the budget of our organization, of the things that we do? Okay.
That's fine.
Am I missing something, or is Hope Link isn't listed here?
You're right. Hope Link isn't there. And it's not that we don't want to support Hope Link. We support it very well. Actually, as we were putting the budget together last year for 2022, we had money in there for Hope Link, and come right to the end of the budgeting process, outreach was asked to reduce our budget by about $4,000. And it was suggested from the finance people that we do that by removing Hope Link, because the congregation already pledged, I think about $14,000 to support HopeLink. So we didn't change that this year. We thought about it, but we, having to drop things by about 4%, we decided to do that across the board. And looking at the support we did for HopeLink, like I say, it was over $14,000 last year. We're anticipating it'll be similar this year. And that doesn't count all of the support we give them through the Corner of Blessing and other things that we do. So HopeLink has not been dropped, but they haven't been in the current fund budget last year or this year. But we hope to put them back in there, and they're certainly a key partner with us. Yeah, as Aaron mentioned, that the pledge cards, both for 2022 and 2023, offered people an opportunity to pledge funds specifically for HopeLink, and we've been doing that. So we're not forgetting HopeLink, but they're not in the current fund budget this current year. Other questions? Okay. Well, then I guess I'll give it back to Brady.
Okay, that is the end of our prepared comments. Now Bill and I will tag team any questions that anybody's got. So I think we have an initial question back there. We'll start.
I noticed the salary decrease, and I was wondering how that's going to happen.
Sure. Two things that are involved in the salary decrease. Number one is in 2022 we had budgeted a full year of the accounting assistant. We have money in the budget for an accounting assistant for 2023, but it's less. So that's part of it. And then as the church goes through transitions and resizes, there's an adjustment to some of the hours work for the hourly staff of the church. Those are the two adjustments. I will note that that as we do every year, there's a salary review for the current staff, and appropriate adjustments, upward adjustments to salary are also part of the budget. And benefits for that matter. The benefits line you'll notice isn't actually flat, even if salaries are down. More questions? I usually get 10 or 12. I want to leave everyone with a couple of thoughts. It is a challenging time. There's no doubt about it. But then again, I've been on finance committee for 14 years. It's never not been a challenging time when it comes to money. And there's just no doubt about that. Maybe there's some particular challenges at the moment. But I want to leave everyone with a message of hope. Going forward here, although it's challenging, it's not that bad in the grand scheme of things. As we've resized our church going through COVID and other experiences, our operating budget is down 8%, maybe. Or other peer organizations that we have 40-50% down as they've resized themselves. We've seen a lot of organizations just not be able to function or be able to function at a very low level. That's not the state that St. Andrew's is in right at the moment. We are actually an incredibly healthy congregation from a financial perspective. We are an incredibly healthy congregation just from the life of our congregation. I mean, look at the crowd here in the room right at the moment. There's engagement. It's a special place, and because of it's a special place, that's why our budget is actually in really, really good shape. We didn't note that, we still have over $100,000 in reserve funds. We have $250,000 in the bank. We are not a dying organization. We are a transitioning organization that's making some hard choices and adjustments, but we are a very, very healthy, financially stable, good place to be from a financial perspective. So I just want everybody to feel that way and to see it in the numbers because those numbers are real. So Bill, anything that I forgot or any key points that you wanted to message before we wrap up?
No, thank you, Brady. Excellent job there. And thank you for the compliments. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been really good working with all of you in this year of transition.
Thanks, Bill. All right. Any last minute burning question? You can always email Bill or I if there's a question, and we'll take care of you. One more question. Yes.
This isn't exactly a question, just a little comment. I don't know if there's any way as a church to retain the benefits for part-time employees. Just a thought to put out there, because I know medical is so important to people. I also know it's expensive, but it's just a thought I'd like to put out.
Sure, yeah. And you know, with all types of expenses, anytime we want to make an adjustment, it's okay. We have 800,000. If we're going to put more money in one place, we're going to have to take it away from another. So where are we going to take it away from if we increase any one of the budget line items? So those are the type of challenges that we'll have to deal with any of the financial decisions that are made in the budget. But point taken.
how much would it cost for the congregation to supplement those costs? And could we do a special appeal? Do you think that would be appropriate? Or
special appeals are always something that is an option. Special appeals are not run by the finance committee, so I can't commit anybody to doing special appeals, but special appeals are options for things. There's some HRE type issues to deal with that suggestion, but it's something that could be looked into. Okay, I think that's what we've got for presentation today. Hopefully everybody feels more educated about where the budget is, and hopefully we'll have good conversation about it next week, and then anytime anybody wants to, we're open door for finance committee. So thanks everybody for your participation today.